Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Friends Church. For those of you who don't know, over the last 7 years, we've been involved in a community called Rio Azul. We celebrated the big completion of the water tank and the sanitation tank last week. We had champagne and cake. It was wonderful. Today, I'm showing you just the last piece of the puzzle. The whole line, you've heard it, you know, give a man a fish, he can eat one day. Teach a man to fish. The idea of a garden that grows vegetables to us is just a no-brainer. To them, it's something they've never even seen before. And in fact, the little cauliflower, or the, I think it's cauliflower that she opens up there and she shows you, that is so valuable in her culture that most likely she won't even eat it. She'll give it to young moms who've just had a baby because she understands how important the nutrition is. She gives it to people who are just newly pregnant. And then whatever is left, she sells. And she buys lesser quality, but better quality food than she was eating before. And with a little bit of extra money, she makes sure that her family has what they need. This is the project you guys have been a part of. It started 2 years ago. We sponsored the last 2 years. And this project has grown, I think the last count, 45 families are growing gardens now. I'm fascinated to find out the day when they actually eat their own produce because they have enough money and they have enough resources that they can actually afford to eat food that good. But what it's doing is it's changing the entire village. The numbers of kids going to school, like, they're going to have a problem. You know, when only 45% of your kids show up for school at any one day, you build a school a certain size, right? When they're healthy and they're active and they don't have sick days like they normally do, this place is going to be overrun. But that's a good problem to have. So today I just wanted to tell you the last part of the project. You guys aren't actually a part of it. That's why you're kind of looking at me like, well, that sounds good, but I've never heard of that. Because 2 years ago we raised the money for it, and the impact is still growing. So over the next 3 years, we believe, 3 years give or take 10, because this is third world countries, they will have graduated from needing any help from us. And Veggie School is the last piece of the puzzle. So they'll be doing that over the next 3 years. We've sponsored all the families. Now it's a matter of just growing their gardens and getting them bigger and bigger. So this is an exciting part of something you guys are doing that you don't really even all know about. But I'm telling you, it's making a huge difference. I want to give a big thanks. Brett, thanks very much, man. That was fantastic. Don't you love how you can be in a place and even like as you sing the songs, there's all kinds of different models of God, and some of them match yours, some of them don't, and it's okay. That's part of kind of the Friend Church way. So it's fun to hear you guys sing. Some of you not singing, that's okay, because you're like, well, that doesn't really fit for me. That's okay too. Today we're going to talk about what is Friend Church all about. The last 2 weeks we've been talking about these three lines we use. We exist for people who don't fit church, define their unique spirituality, and make the world a better place. And today I want to focus in on that last line, making the world a better place. So before I go there, I'm going to ask you this way. Think of the last time, because I'm not the only person, where you're driving in traffic and someone, okay, actually, you know what? Just the other day, I'm driving down Deerfoot completely, like there's nobody around, like, I don't know, maybe 2 a.m, no one around. And this guy pulls up beside me and then cuts me off. With nobody around. Think of the last time someone cut you off. How did you react? Like I did? I'm sure I was thinking, oh, he must have someone bleeding in the back seat. You know, he's got to get to the hospital quickly, right? That's what we're thinking, right? It's not the big old bird out the window like, what the fuck? You guys are laughing because you all do it. I'm not the only one. It's like, it's not like, you know, if you break it down in the moment by moment, it's not like car swerves in front of Vince. Vince thinks, I don't see anyone bleeding in the back seat, so it's probably not that. They're not going in the direction of the hospital. Couldn't be anything other than that. I bet you they need an education in driving. What would be the best way to educate them when they're driving right now? Yeah, flipping them the bird and screaming my head off. That would help, right? Do any of you go through that mental thought process before you do that? It's like your brain just goes like this, like collapses, and you're like, blah. And it's funny when we're talking about traffic because, you know, a person doesn't really get hurt. But we've also done it with people we love. You know, kids, partners, friends, parents, colleagues. they say or do that thing, our brain goes like that. Bleah. And all of a sudden we can hear ourselves say things that we're going, whoa, I didn't mean to say that. It's not like we consciously went through and said, I'm going to say the most hurtful thing I can come up with, the thing that will damage our relationship, possibly beyond repair. I'm going to say that. Do we ever think that? No, it just goes like this, right? You can see it in their eyes. It's like, oh, that hurt. The horrible thing is when our brain collapses, not only are we being deliberate in our hurt and in what we say, we don't actually have the mental ability to do anything different. That's the scary part. So I was out taking scuba diving. I'm an old man. I need to do sports that are a little less painful in the body, so I'm taking up scuba diving. But in Vince style, I don't really want to just go scuba diving. I want to go extreme scuba diving. So I'm out in Emerald Lake, just in Crow's Nest, and I'm doing the last of my deep dives. This is where you have to go between 90 feet and 140 feet deep. So this is deep. And I've done my first three dives, and it's been kind of hit or miss, but this is my fourth dive. All I need to do is dive to that depth, turn around, come back and not die, and I will pass the course. Simple, right? And I jump in the water, and I am folks, I don't mean to brag, but I'm diving like a champ. My body position is bang on. It's I'm not even having to pay attention. I'm just floating through the water, looking around. You know, there's a million things you have to do in scuba diving. I don't have to think about any of them. It's my body just knows what to do. And some weird dudes made this massive tetrahedron down there. Don't ask me why. People make tetrahedrons at the bottom of lakes. That's what they do. So we get to this tetrahedron. We're floating down following a line. And I'm telling you, I am on fire. We hit about 90 feet at the tetrahedron, and now we go a little deeper. So we're about 105 feet underwater. And something goes wrong. I start to hear a hiss, like a leaking air tank hiss. I'm getting a little nervous. 105 feet underwater, my air tank's leaking, gonna die. And so I am, my guide's with me, but I'm leading this thing, right? This is my last dive. I just have to dive to the bottom, get back to the top, not die, and I pass. So my guide's kind of falling behind me, and I'm doing one of these. I have this air gauge that tells me how much air I got left, and I'm like, and he's looking at me, and I'm like, and I'm watching it. It's like, you know, the old cars when you used to hit the gas, and the speedometer would go up, and the gas gauge would go down at the same time? This is what's happening. I'm watching my air gauge and I'm like, I am starting to freak out. We come back from the tetrahedron. I am now down to 700 PSI. I am this is not good. This is not good. And I'm trying to get my guy's attention. He's looking at me well, what do you want to do about it? And I'm like, I don't know. That's why I'm pointing at my finger for you to do something. And that's when my brain does this. I don't really remember the next 5 minutes. But it ends with me rocketing to the surface with my guide hanging onto my harness to try and slow me down. Just in case you don't understand how this works in scuba diving, I'm going to use this metaphor. When you're mountain climbing and you really mess up, you fall off the mountain, right? Very bad. Shouldn't fall off the mountain. In scuba diving, when you do something really bad, you fall out of the water. They call it a rapid, uncontrolled ascent. And I shot to the surface like a rocket. Our computers were freaking out. It's like, what are you doing? And I, surface out of the water, come flying in, and I'm like, I don't even know what just happened. I don't even know how I got here. I know I'm not supposed to be on the surface. My guide's looking at me like, what just happened? I'm like, I honestly, I don't know. Now, Jeff has spent the last little bit talking about that line. We exist for people who don't fit church, find unique spirituality. He talked about that, people who don't fit church. And the core of that concept is knowing ourselves. knowing even that you're somebody who doesn't fit church. That takes a certain amount of self-awareness, differentiation, a bunch of different things. But at the core of all that, Jeff talked about this concept called mindfulness. Mindfulness is what I didn't have underneath the water down there. Mindfulness is what you don't have when you realize you're screaming and yelling at somebody, but you don't even know how you got to that point. Because mindfulness is kind of like this. Say you all are your brain. I'm the observer watching your brains. It's a really simple concept in mindset. It's this idea that says there's part of our brain that watches what's going on in other parts of our brain. It's the part that says, oh, we're freaking out right now, aren't we? That air gauge is going down fast. Wow, you are not fully in control of everything, are you, Clausen? Right? You've heard that part of your brain. You've had that part of your brain that goes, wow, I am tense right now. You can feel it. Your observer watches the things that you say to yourself. You know, when you do something stupid and you're like, idiot. Can't believe how stupid you are. The observer is watching that going, Now, the observer is not supposed to be judgmental. Mine seems to be a little judgmental sometimes. But here's the thing. The observer watches what's going on internally. And the observer is also the thing that can help you make a different decision. You can watch what's going on in your brain and go, you know, this isn't going to a good place. Let's just move over there, shall we? Now, the observer is a fascinating piece of our brains because it's almost like it can either be online or offline. So my observer was watching me dive. It's the one that was going, damn, Clausen, you're looking good down here. You're diving like a champ. It's also the part that somehow left the building when I started to panic. Right? There was no sense of, okay, we're panicking. What are we worried about? Let's prioritize what needs to be taken care of. We need air. Okay, let's do that. It was offline. It's the same thing that's offline when you realize you're saying things to somebody in a hurtful way, but you never really intended to say them in that way. Now let me put a finer point on this. I'm underwater, about 90 feet. I'm running out of air. Freak out. Shoot to the surface. When you shoot to the surface, that's when you risk getting the bends, which is so much pain that you actually, like, your body bends and contracts because you have so much pain. I didn't, so I was lucky. But what I didn't tell you guys about that story about freaking out underwater is I had a spare air tank with me. Literally right here. There we are. Not only that, just because I'm not that, like, I'm an idiot, right? You remember I told you my guide was kind of looking at me like, what you want to do? You know what he was actually doing? Holding out his spare air tank to me saying, would you like some air, Clausen? It's right there. You just need to come breathe on it. I failed the class, can you tell? But see, that's the thing, right? When we have those mental collapses, what happens? Do you make good decisions? No. You panic and do something and shoot to the surface. You don't remember that you have spare air right there. Now, take yourself to that comment you have had in relationship. So you're with somebody. They say, usually it's someone you love because they can hit your buttons like nobody else. Your kid, your partner, your friend, your parent, I don't know, your colleague at work. And they say that thing that, oh. And your observer is sitting up there watching going, oh geez, right? You feel that thing rocketing up inside of you. It's just this like emotion just overwhelming you. And you know where this is going because it's gone here a million times before. This is not the first time. They say do this. You say do this. Kaboom. Everyone's hurt. You don't talk to each other all night. It takes 3 weeks to get it all figured out again. Then finally you just pretend that it didn't happen because that's the only way to get by it. In that moment, you're watching the next 3 weeks of your life going to crap. You can see it. You've been there a million times. Your observer's watching you going, oh geez, here we go. But then something's going to happen. And it's going to be the most surreal moment you've ever experienced, because your mindfulness will get to a place where all of a sudden your observer goes, I see it coming. I feel inside that my brain wants to collapse, my mind wants to collapse, and I want to say that thing to get rid of the hurt that's inside of me, to get it onto them. But you're going to do something different. That observer is going to watch that moment, and just before it collapses, you're going to say, you know what? I'm not going to say that thing that I always say. I'm not going to react the way I always react. And you're going to watch that moment float past you. And you're going to watch it go. That thing that just didn't happen was 3 weeks of hell that didn't happen. The other person won't even realize what's going on. To them, we're just having a conversation. But you realize inside that in not reacting the way you've always done, not letting that mental collapse happen, not doing that thing that's just dumb, you've done something to that moment that's going to change the next 3 weeks of both of your lives. We call that goodness that happens there taking water. And in that moment, the person you're with won't even realize that you just took crazy water to them because of your mindfulness. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Because here's the thing. When we don't do that, when we let that mental collapse happen, what happens? Yeah, it's 3 weeks of pain and suffering, but that's not it. For those of you who are married with kids, you've seen this. Your partner says something, you fire back with that blah, because you got hurt and you want to get it back at them. What happens after that? Do they just kind of hit that pain, hits them, and they're like, no big deal? Or do you see them with your kids now? They're a little snippy. They're kind of pissy with the kids. The kid does something and they react really like, same thing, mental collapse. And then the kid does that to their friend, who does it to their parent, who does it and keeps going. And you can see this wave of like hurt and pain radiating out from you. It's like cancer just growing out from the center. It's like this horrible thing. You've seen it in work too. You blow up on someone. What's the line? Shit rolls downhill. Right? You blow up on this person, they blow up on this person, they blow up on this person. And you just watch this chain of pain and suffering flowing out from you. And yet in that mindfulness moment, you have this thing, you see this entire train of events, 3 weeks of your life, plus all the pain and suffering that's going to flow out. And you make a different decision. And you stop all of that. It takes one moment of having that observer watch what's going on and say, I'm not going to do what I always do. It only works when you know who you are. It only works when you've done the work on yourself, because you watch yourself and said, oh, every time someone says that, or even when the person does this little thing over here, they don't even realize they're doing. My reaction, that's like a one. My reaction is like a 24 to that. What is going on inside of me? Oh, that's that wound I have. So let me work on that. Let me heal that. Let me go get some help for that. And the next time that person does a thing, you're looking and going, normally I would be blowing a gasket right now. But I'm not. And you see the ripple of good that that choice has radiate out. You wonder why we are constantly pushing you guys to know yourselves. We talk about attachment. We talk about everything we can to go, do you know yourself? How many messages have I ended saying, if you're broken in this area, go get help. I have a list of people to go see. They're fantastic. Why? Because that will impact that water moment that spreads into all of your life. And it doesn't end there. Someone's like, well, are we a self-help church? And I'm like, well, yeah. But it's more than that. Because see, here's the deal. I'll word it this way. I think there's like a superpower. Some people call it God. Some people call it spirituality, the divine, the interconnectedness of everything, the ground of being. I call it the more than. It's my way of just saying it's just more than. Whatever it is more than that. It's divinity. It's God. It's all of those things. The more than. And I don't know about you, but when I connect to that more than, my butt gets kicked. I can't just be this guy going, I'm going to do whatever I want. It's the thing going, hey, Vince, that wound right over there you got that just blew up onto that other person and then barfed into the next person and down the chain? Yeah, how about you work on that? Now, it doesn't talk to me like that. But there's this moment where I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. It's the thing that pushes me in moments that says, do you see what's going on here? Do you see how you can take water in this moment? Do you see how you can show love? It does all those things. It's these nudges in my life that keep pushing me to do better, to do more. And not better so that I can be better. Better because then I'm healthier. And I'm not leaving these trails of hurt and pain flowing out of me. Just like we push you guys to know yourselves, we are constantly trying to push you towards spirituality, whatever way that looks for you. Some of you, it looks like traditional church. That's cool. Some of you are atheists out there. The whole idea of God, that you're like, I don't know. Usually I can get you around to more than, because you're like, yeah, I'm okay with something a little bit more. I'm not sure, but that's okay too. But there's something we're looking for that's just not just the Vince moment, not just like the sum total of evolution to this moment, you know, completely self-serving Vince. It's something more than that. And so we push you guys all the time, whenever we can. Why? Because we want to make this world a better place. So I was at Bragg Creek. I think it was out after me and Brent. Brent's here. Where are you, Brent? My riding partner. There he is. My riding partner. He crushed me that day. I don't know. He was just on fire. So we finished the day. We go back to Bragg Creek to the gas station. And I'm running in to go use the bathroom. Covered in mud. You know, smell like a horse, whatever. And there's a lady who opens up the door in front of me. And she's got three little kids and three little boys. And they just look like they're, you know, she's frazzled. These kids are just hell. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but the look on her face was just, I'm dying. And so as I'm running in, she's dressed in this beautiful little dress, nice scarf, sunglasses on her head. I said, wow, that's a fantastic dress. And I went right in. And as I kind of took the left, out of the corner of my eye, I saw her face. It wasn't outrage. It was just this moment of like, her mouth dropped open, and her eyes almost welled up. And it was just this moment of like, you just said the very thing I needed in this moment to get through this. I was already on the other side of the place at the bathroom when I hear this thing. Thanks so much for saying that. But it wasn't me. It wasn't like a Vince moment where I was like, I read the situation, I knew what to do. No, that was connected to something more than for me that happened earlier. You see, Carmen's been pushing us to do this thing called 31 and 31. It's this idea that every day in October, we try something, we take water. And when we first started this, we actually thought the whole point of this thing was to get you guys to take water. To force you guys to take water, to use memory aids to say, remember to take water today. And here's what we found. First 3 days, people are gung-ho. Right? Then you have like a guilt one like halfway through. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. You do like one, two more days, then it's just like, bleh. Why? Why didn't it work? You see, I have a theory that as I work through it more and more, I think there's something to this. I think we made water the end goal. But I don't think it works that way. You see, I think water is the natural byproduct of a healthy person connected to their spirituality. You've all been there where you're going, I am in a foul mood. How long can you will yourself to not snap at somebody? Usually lasts about 4 seconds for me. Because I don't think taking water is a will thing. I think it doesn't last very long then. I think taking water is that moment when you see the pain comes up in your reaction and your observer goes, wait a second, why don't we try something different here? Whoop. And that just floats by you. That's not a moment you can will yourself into, is it? It's a moment that only when you're healthy enough to see it coming and you have that separation can you actually do that thing. And if you're not connected to your spirituality, when you don't have that thing pushing you and nudging you and guiding you, you can't will yourself to be selfless. It's like, I'm going to stop for every person on the side of the road in the next 20 minutes. Well, maybe, no, I'm busy. I got to get to work and I got to get a coffee. So maybe not this time, but the next 20 minutes I'll do it, right? I don't think taking water is the end. And we used to do 31 and 31 that said, no. We're going to get you taking water and we're going to force you to do it. It just doesn't seem to work that way. But when we get healthy versions of ourselves connected to spirituality, I don't know about you, but water flows out of me all the time. And Carmen put me in a situation a couple years ago at a Costco buying a hot dog. I was supposed to buy the deal was I was going to buy a hot dog for the buy lunch for the person behind me. So I pull into line. I'm like getting my thing. I turn around to buy the lunch, and it's this like 21-year-old, completely gorgeous young woman. 44-year-old Vince is like, oh, geez. This is not going to go well. So I'm like, how do I do this in the least creepy way I can think of? So I had the song and dance. Long story short, buy her a hot dog. $1.99 hot dog at Costco. I go sit down, pull out my book, because that's what I do. I read when I'm... And she walks over to me, and I'm like, oh, geez, here it comes. And she says, you know what? You just made my day today. And something shifted inside of me. Sure, in our culture, a 44-year-old man buying a hot dog for a 21-year-old girl, there's some weirdness to it. A dirty biker walking into a Bragg Creek saying great dress to a lady, that shouldn't go well, right? But something in that first moment was more than. I remember her saying that, and I was just like, what just happened here? And that changed me. Now, I had to do a bunch of work of how do you compliment somebody when there's an age difference, when there's a gender difference? How do you do that? But I realized most of the crap was mine. When I said to that lady, wow, great dress, you could tell something happened. And again, it wasn't me. That was more than. There was something bigger going on there. So what's yours? Some of you know those moments in your life, those 31 moments, because you're going to do them, and you're just going to go, oh, there was something. Something just happened there. Some of you know what your things are, but if you're anything like me, you don't know all of them. 31 and 31 used to be us trying to force water. It's not that way anymore. Now, I had a word for it. Potentially spiritual experiences. That's what we're going to call it. You compliment someone, they say thanks, you're like, meh. Okay, well, that's not your thing. Right? Sometimes you buy someone lunch, and they're like, thank you. And even though it's not a big thing for them, all of a sudden you're like, you feel this moment in yourself, you're like, oh, that was big. There was something there. So in October, I want to encourage you, not because you need to take water in that way, not because there's something right about it. A lot of people have said to me, they got water all backwards. They were like, Vince, they didn't say this to me, but you could see it. They didn't love themselves. They didn't think they had value. That was their narrative. And so what they do is they would take as much water as they can to try and deal with that. And when they didn't take water, you could just see them. They're like, "Ugh, can't believe it." You're going, what? I don't understand. Until you realize they were trying to take water to try and deal with this wound inside of them. Or they didn't feel somehow them and God, something was wrong there. And if I take water, then maybe God will be happy with me or like me or take care of me or something. And so water became this kind of ritual that we do to try and deal with these things over here instead of going, no. Once we deal with these things over here, when we figure out ourselves and become healthy and connect to something more, then this just happens. It doesn't seem to work very good when you go backwards. So here's the deal. Friend Church exists to help people who don't fit church, people who know themselves, people who are connected and healthiest versions of themselves, to find their unique spirituality, not a spirituality that fits everybody else, not a spirituality that looks Christian or not Christian or any of those things, throw out all the labels, something that's unique to you, something that fits for you. As I said, it's custom because as you're different, this looks different. So it's the thing that makes sense to you and that works for you to connect you to something more. And then when those two things are done, I think this just happens. Water that we will into existence where it's like, I'm going to take water, doesn't seem to last very long. But this kind of water, you can feel it, can't you? You can feel those moments when you make good decisions, when your healthiest version of yourself, you're not reacting out of pain or triggers or hurts or any of those things. When you're connected to something more than just the mundanity of, I just need to take care of myself. You can feel what would happen. And that's why we exist and we push in every area. Because remember that pain and suffering we saw spread out from us? I hurt this person now is triggered, so they hurt the next person, and on, and you see it barfing down the street. What if that was love? Because just like pain spreads, love spreads. Instead of triggering that person, having that moment where you collapse and you trigger them, and then they collapse and trigger, no, you don't trigger them. And now they're with your kids, and they're ridiculously loving and skillful. You don't tell them this, but you're like, I did that. That was totally me. You see it in work, right? You show someone goodness. There's goodness that kind of wells out of you, and you treat them with respect, and you don't trigger on them. You don't collapse on them. And they go out, and they do something amazing with the next person they talk to. We have stories all over the place. Starbucks lineups where the first person buys coffee for the person behind them. 230-something people all bought coffee for the person behind them. I don't know who the bonehead is who stopped that whole system. What were you thinking, buddy? Just like pain can spread out from us, so can love and peace and goodness. Talk about making this world a better place. I can't think of anything that will change this world like that. So if you're like me, and this floats your boat, if this excites you, and you imagine a world where you are the center of love spreading out from you, and you go, no, that's what I want to be a part of. This next year at Friend Church is going to be a great workout, because we're going to push you hard. Not because we want to break you. Although sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes you have a model of God that I watch and I go, wow, that is getting in the way of you connecting with something more. That's holding you down. That's restricting you. That's making you so you can't do this and you can't do that. And so I come in there and I like, you're like, stop it. Why am I doing that? Because I want you free to connect, to not be limited by those models of God. I want this to be able to spread through all of your life and through the people you love and the people that they love and just spread out through the whole world. And if you have a model of God that's getting in the way of that, I promise you, I'm going to take the boots to that one. Why? Because we want to change the world. And I know it sounds utopian, but you put the 150 people in this room plus a few hundred people in the podcast – all of us spreading from us to the people we love, to the people they love, to the people they love. Think of the impact of just this group alone. If we would do this, if we would be the healthiest version of ourselves, connected to our unique spirituality and driven by that, think of what this will do to the world. That's what we're a part of. And that's what Friend Church is all about. We just had the order all messed up. So, I want to invite you, commit to this year. Push hard. Do your work. Connect with God. Do whatever you need to do. And let's be a part of that thing, creating that love movement that just flows out that makes this world a better place. Can we? We're going to have a barbecue. They're outside barbecuing burgers and or grilled cheese and or something else that's fatty and delicious. I now absolve you of all diets. Please go out there. Let's go out there, have some fun, get to know each other a little bit, have a great week, and let's take some water, okay? Thanks, everybody.